Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. The Reverend Dr. John Sias is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 6th and 7th chapters. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Or what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Do not be yoked unequally with unbelievers. We do not have much experience, I should think, with farm animals, but know that stuffing an ox with a donkey into the latter's yoke is not going to get your cart anywhere good. I suppose I have most often heard this verse used as a warning to Christians not to marry unbelievers, and that is certainly wise. But this falls not in a section about marriage, but between sections of Paul's apostolic plea for the Corinthians to make room in their hearts for the apostles, for their ministry, even to be reconciled to God so as not to receive the grace of God in vain. So this is much more than just a one-liner on marriage. We tend to know the yoke more from Scripture, I suppose, than from farm or road use. Yokes are for work. Yokes are fit for different tasks or laws, and for different beasts to go in them. By a delightful collision of words, I think, perhaps inspired simply by the shape of things, two Hebrew ideas, one for yokes and one for scales, like you'd measure things on, combine into one Greek word, the zugos, reflecting the reality that as we work, so we tend to measure. Workers who don't measure the same are not going to pull the same direction. This may certainly be said of our life out in the Gentile world, as for the Corinthians. Much as we like to divide sacred from secular and think that we can play in the secular world as the secular do without messing up our secular lives, one always bleeds over into the other. Eating meat in the other letter to the Corinthians gets bound up with the pagan religiosity of the meat market of Paul's day. It's, in the end, the silversmiths that get Paul into trouble in Ephesus, seeing that a religion with no need of goddess trinkets will be very bad for business. How much of our economy, societal and personal, revolves around the religion of this world, around some way to live forever, supposedly, that is not by faith, some way to find pleasure and company and meaning that is not in Christ, some way to atone that is not by his blood and passion, some flight from suffering, which is to us that suffering in which, joined to Christ, we are to hope in his strength and learn to live through weakness by faith. Think about how we yoke ourselves for all this stuff, figuring that by it we will find fulfillment, getting by as those who do not know Jesus as their priceless treasure. Do not be unequally yoked, Paul says. It should give us pause. Are you laboring for all this or for Christ? Do you earn or will you inherit? Do you live the life that is in God or do you look for another? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. What does the believer inherit with the unbeliever, being of different lineage? What symphony can Christ and the devil make together? Let us cleanse ourselves, therefore, as Paul says, of every defilement of the flesh, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. But that is not all, he says, but also to cleanse ourselves of every defilement of the spirit. I do not mean to say that the corruptions of the flesh do not corrupt the spirit. They do. But there is also a righteousness of the flesh that corrupts the spirit just as well and more insidiously, more tenaciously. Though it is a yoke, Peter says in Acts, neither fathers nor sons could bear. A yoke of slavery, Paul warns the Galatians not to take up again. Now, we say that we are justified by faith, and we live in many ways as free of the yoke of any law, sometimes to our shame. But by our measuring by this zugos, the yoke of the law and of our labors, if we count ourselves more righteous than others, if we count God a cheat because our labors under this yoke are, in our mind, not congruent with our merits, we supposedly upright folks stick our heads back in with the donkey and pull in circles, ripping up the field. And yet, St. Paul says, being very bold as he is, we are the temple of the living God. The church is, this church is, despite the Corinthians, despite us. This because, as he said a chapter before, at the start of this whole thing, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, and even as one seeming to be out of his mind as far as the world's yokes and scales are concerned, for the love of Christ compels us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This, I think, is what Paul is talking about here in this language of yoking. And this, what he's just described, is the yoke the church bears alone in this world. Unlike the yoke of any other. And as she works, so she measures, and vice versa. And God grant us as individual Christians to take our place in that. For as the church labors under that yoke, she is, of course, not alone under it. The world is not there with her. They don't even understand what she's doing. But under that yoke, she is there not alone, but with Christ, her Lord, working for her, who says, after all, in Matthew 11, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. But this yoke is known only in Christ. Therefore, if you are in Christ, don't go yoke yourself to something else. The Old Testament types of us surely did. The yoked spirit to law, and flesh to world, instead of both to promise that God would make his dwelling among them and walk with them, as Paul says. They did this for curse and not for blessing. And so St. Paul says, come out from all of that. He quotes, interestingly, I think, Isaiah 52, which leads into 53. For the Lord has gone before, that is Jesus, who bore the beam, the zugos of the cross, being made sin for sinners, that we should become the righteousness of God, that we should live together in this church, living in the temple not made with hands, as raised the third day. Do not work, therefore, my friends, do not measure as they do, but as he does. Not by your work or weal, but by his promise. This is our yoke to bear together. Impossible and nonsensical in the world and among false brothers, but with Christ under it with us, it's true what he says. It is easy and light. Under it alone find rest for our souls. Since we have that promise, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the flesh and of the spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of this God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.